Surah Al-Mumtahina. Al-Mumtahina means the surah which examines. It is also called or known as Al-Mumtahana, meaning the woman who is examined. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya'a. O you who have believed, do not take my enemies and your enemies as allies. The Kuffar had broken the Treaty of Hudaybiyah by this time. So the Prophet ﷺ was secretly getting the Muslims ready for fighting. He had seen a dream, but he did not tell the people that they were heading for Makkah. Hatib radiallahu anhu had family in Makkah. He was a muhajir. He had also participated in Badr. But he felt that a great war was coming on. To safeguard his family, he sent some information via a woman to Makkah, to the people of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Wahi, and he sent Sahaba to stop the woman. The Sahabi, Hatib radiallahu anhu, was truthful and he owned up. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reprimand him. And then this surah was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, do not take my enemies and your enemies as allies, meaning the kuffar of Makkah, extending to them affection, while they have disbelieved in what came to you of the truth, having driven out the Prophet and yourselves only because you believe in Allah and your Lord. If you have come out for jihad, meaning fighting or striving in my cause, and seeking means to my approval, take them not as friends. You confide to them affection, meaning instruction. But I am most knowing of what you have concealed and what you have declared. And whoever does it among you has certainly strayed from the soundness of the way. If they gain dominance over you, they would be, that is, they would behave to you as enemies, and extend against you their hands and their tongues with evil, and they wish you would disbelieve. Never will your relatives or your children benefit you. The day of resurrection he will judge between you and Allah of what you do is seen. There has already been for you an excellent pattern, Uswatun Hasana, fi Ibrahima, in Ibrahim a.s. and those with him, when they said to their people, indeed, we are disassociated from you and from whatever you worship other than Allah. Allah says, look at what Ibrahim a.s. did. He completely walked away from his family members, disassociated with them completely because they committed shirk, the greatest zulm, and they also tried to kill him and harm him. Allah says, follow that pattern. Do not show affection to your enemies, because if they had the chance, they would not spare any affection toward you. Allah says, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to the kuffar, the people of his community, we have denied you, and there has appeared between us and you animosity and hatred forever, until you believe in Allah alone. Except for the saying of Abraham to his father, I will surely ask forgiveness for you, but I have not power to do for you anything against Allah. Our Lord, upon you we have relied, and to you we have returned, and to you is a destination. Our Lord, make us not objects of torment for the disbelievers, and forgive us, our Lord. Indeed, it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to see the Sahaba cut off ties completely from the kuffar of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, it is not for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the idolaters, the polytheists, even though they are of kin, after it has become clear to them that they are the dwellers of the fire because they died in a state of disbelief. And Ibrahim's request for his father's forgiveness was only because of a promise he made to him. But when it became clear to him that he was an enemy of Allah, he disassociated himself from him. Verily, Ibrahim was awwah and forbearing, very soft-hearted and forbearing and tolerant, Allah says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to fulfill our promises, and that was the only reason he allowed Ibrahim alayhi salam to make dua for his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not going to save Azar because of that. Allah again says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. This is the same ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah also says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, there has certainly been for you in them an excellent pattern. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah alayhi salam, and Lut alayhi salam, when they left and disowned their people. Allah says, there has certainly been for you in them an excellent pattern for anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day. And whoever turns away, then indeed Allah is free of need, the praiseworthy. Perhaps Allah will put between you and those to whom you have been enemies among them affection. And Allah is competent and Allah is forgiving. Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mother was still a mushrika. So she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what she should do. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, establish ties of kinship with her. The line was drawn at preferring the polytheists, even if they are relatives, over the believers. Allah says, it is possible that in the future there will be affection between them and you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put affection and love in our hearts for each other. Allah has complete control over it, and Allah is competent, he says, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive those people and have mercy upon the families and bring them together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did do that at the conquest of Makkah. A narration states, love your loved one moderately, because one day he might become your enemy. Hate your hated one moderately, because one day he might become your loved one. Alhamdulillah. Allah says, Allah does not forbid you from those who did not fight you because of your religion, and do not expel you from your homes, from being righteous towards them and acting justly toward them. Indeed, Allah loves those who act justly. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to have good behavior, behave with righteousness with those people of the book and disbelievers who do not hurt us, who do not work against us or our religion. Allah then says, Allah only forbids you from those who fight you because of religion and expel you from your homes and aid in your expulsion, forbids that you make allies of them, and whoever makes allies of them, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, do you know who are the foremost to the shade of Allah, the Exalted, on the Day of Resurrection? They said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet said, they are those who accept the truth when they receive it, who offer the truth when they are asked for it, and who judge people the way they judge themselves. Musnad Ahmad. In Sahih Muslim it is narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, behold, the dispensers of justice will be seating on the pulpits of light besides God, on the right side of the merciful. Either side of the being is a right side, both being equally meritorious. He said, the dispensers of justice are those who do justice in their rules, in matters relating to their families, and in all that they undertake to do. So the best reason for justice is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. It would be injustice to treat everybody, treat all the disbelievers the same. Allah loves for us to act with justice with everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, when the believing women come to you as emigrants, meaning they are now coming from Makkah to Medina, examine, that is, test them. Allah is most knowing as to their faith. And if you know them to be believers, then do not return them to the disbelievers. They are not lawful wives for them, nor are they lawful husbands for them. But give them, the disbelievers, what they have spent, meaning for marriage, to compensate their loss. And there is no blame upon you if you marry them when you have given them their due compensation, meaning the mahar. And hold not to marriage bonds with disbelieving women, and ask for what you have spent, and let them, the disbelievers, ask for what they have spent. When a disbelieving wife chose to join the disbelievers, A Muslim husband could demand in return the equivalent of her mahar. Likewise, the disbelievers had a similar right when a believing woman joined the Muslims. This and the following verses were revealed after the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. Allah says, "That is the judgment of Allah. He judges between you, and Allah is knowing and wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly just, and this is justice for both parties." Allah says, "And if you have lost any of your wives to the disbelievers, and you subsequently obtain something," meaning from the side of the disbelievers, like war spoils, "then give those whose wives have gone the equivalent of what they had spent," meaning compensate the Muslim women whose wives have abandoned them, "and fear Allah, in whom you are believers." This is a strict injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so He reminds the believers to fear Him. Allah then says, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, when the believing women come to you, pledging to you that they will not associate anything with Allah, nor will they steal, nor will they commit unlawful sexual intercourse, nor will they kill their children, nor will they bring forth a slander they have invented between their arms and their legs." This is an allusion to pregnancy or childhood, falsely attributing a child to someone else's husband. Allah says, "If they promise not to do that, nor will they disobey you in what is right, then accept their pledge and ask forgiveness for them from Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful." So these women would come, migrate, because they wanted to accept Islam and they wanted to settle down in Medina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should test them and make them pledge that they would give up all these evil acts. Aisha radiallahu anha bore witness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never touched the hands of any woman when she came to pledge. Unlike the society today, where women, Muslim women, sometimes hold the hands of non-mahram men, thinking that they are pious and great saints, subhanallah. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, do not make allies of a people with whom Allah has become angry." Allah stresses this again. "They have despaired of reward in the hereafter, just as the disbelievers have despaired of meeting the companions of the graves." Surah As-Saff. As-Saff means the row. It was revealed in Medina. It is reported that some of the Sahaba were sitting and saying, "If we come to know which is the dearest action in the sight of Allah, we shall act upon it." No one dared to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him. While the discussion was going on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent for them and called each man by his name. When they arrived, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the entire Surah As-Saff to them, which had just been revealed. This surah showed that the dearest action they were looking for was jihad in the cause of Allah. And their statement saying that if we come to know, we will do it, was a sort of a claim that they had the ability to do it. Allah admonished them that a believer should not make such a claim, because he does not know whether he will be able to implement his intentions when the time arrives. All power is in Allah's hands. So Allah says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth exalts Allah. It does the tasbih of Allah, and He is the exalted in might, the wise. O you who have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say what you do not do? Great is hatred in the sight of Allah that you say what you do not do. Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in His cause in a row, as though they are a single structure joined firmly. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا. And mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Moses said to his people, "O my people, why do you harm me while you certainly know that I am the messenger of Allah to you?" And when they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. They continued to disobey Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam asked them to stop, but they refused. So Allah says He deviated their hearts, because they themselves had started deviating. And Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. And mention when Jesus, the son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, indeed I am the messenger of Allah to you, confirming what came before me of the Torah, and bringing good tidings of a messenger to come after me whose name is Ahmad. Ahmad is another name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he came to them with clear evidences, they said, "This is obvious magic." And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah untruth while he is being invited to Islam? And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. They want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah will perfect His light, although the disbelievers dislike it. Which light is this? The light of truth, the light of Islam. How do people attempt to extinguish the light of Islam? By their words. Because Allah says they try to do this with their mouths. Spreading false propaganda against Islam. Taking the ayat out of context. Presenting evidence of criminals saying that this is the face of Islam. Subhanallah. Allah tells us that their hatred is evident from their words and their body language. All of it is wrapped up in beautiful words. Wrapped up in beautiful slogans. Presented simply as news or academic discussions. And Allah knows they are all lies. And Allah Himself says that nothing will stop it. Nobody will stop it. Because Allah will perfect His light, although the disbelievers dislike it. It is He who sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, although those who associate others with Allah dislike it. O you who have believed, shall I guide you to a transaction that will save you from a painful punishment? It is that you believe in Allah and His Messenger and strive in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. That is best for you if you should know. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do jihad with yourselves and with your wealth. Struggle to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begin with your homes and then begin with your communities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the light of Islam. But He will do it through us. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. He is free of need. If we do not obey Allah and His Messenger, if we do not work hard to sacrifice, to please Him, He will easily replace us with other people. Allah says, struggle. That is best for you if you should know. He will forgive for you your sins and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow and pleasant dwellings in gardens of perpetual residence. ذَلِكَ فَوْزُ الْعَظِيمِ. That is truly the great attainment. To work for the cause of Islam is the best way to have our sins forgiven and to gain Jannah. May Allah help us to do this truly for His sake. Ameen. And you will obtain another favor that you love, victory from Allah, and an imminent conquest, and give good tidings to the believers. So the believers will have victory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this dunya as well. And the lives of the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are a proof of that. O you who have believed, be supporters of Allah. Kunu ansar Allahi, be the helpers of Allah. As when Jesus, the son of Mary, said to the disciples, "Who are my supporters for Allah?" The disciples said, "We are supporters of Allah, nahnu ansarullah." And a faction of the children of Israel believed, and a faction disbelieved. So we supported those who believed against our enemy, and they became dominant. Allah clearly admonishes the Sahaba. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that they, the disbelievers, want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. But it is not the Sahaba. It is in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will perfect the light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins it by sending a messenger. And then He sends the teachings of Islam. The role of the Sahaba is like the role of the disciples of Isa alayhi salam. They were ready to support. They were ready to help. They were ready to do jihad with their lives and with their wealth. Allah says once they decided to do that and once they started to struggle, Allah says, so we supported those who believed against their enemy and they became dominant. The final decision was with Allah. Without Allah's support, the disciples of Isa a.s. would not have been victorious. Without Allah's support, the companions of Rasulullah s.a.w. would not have been dominant. And this was a reminder for them. Do not make great claims that you are not able to follow through with on your own, because all victory is from Allah. As a general statement, ayah number 2, 3 and 4 are also a reminder for us in all of our actions. Allah says, O you who have believed, why do you say what you do not do? Why do people say what they do not do? People claim to have done great things, which they actually have not. They take credit for what they have not done, but for what others have done. People think so highly of themselves that they will go to the extent of lying in order to save face, in order to portray themselves as greater than what they really are. Look how Allah talks about this. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is hateful in the sight of Allah that a person says what they do not do. Allah says about Qarun that he attributed his success to his own ilm. The rich landowner, the farmer in Suratul Kahf, whose land was subsequently destroyed, attributed his success to himself, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are great things. People lie about small things. They might have food catered from somewhere, but they will say, I cooked it. They might have bought something for $20, but they will say it cost $75. People exaggerate when they describe their accomplishments on the field like sports. And also, do not claim to do great things, simply to impress people. And then people ultimately do find out that you were just shooting off at the mouth. How long can we truly keep up this pretense? A mu'min always speaks thoughtfully. A mu'min promises thoughtfully. A mu'min does not make any claim for himself or herself, but only bases it upon the help and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All victory is from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May He forgive us and may He reform us. Ameen. Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Friday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, exalting Allah, the Sovereign, the Pure, the Exalted in Might, the Wise. It is He who has sent among the unlettered a messenger from themselves, reciting to them His verses and purifying them, and teaching them the Book, meaning the Qur'an, and Wisdom, meaning the Sunnah, although they were before in clear error, and to others of them who have not yet joined them, and He is the Exalted in Might, the Wise. That is the bounty of Allah which He gives to whom He wills, and Allah is the possessor of great bounty. What is this great fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Fadlul Azim, it is the Qur'an, and the sending of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says He has sent them to an unlettered people. Unlettered means people who cannot read or write. People also who did not have a previous scripture. Because in Allah's eyes, knowledge is knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the Wahi, knowledge of the scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger. This is the greatest fadl, because through him we learned the Quran. The muallim, the teacher, came with a curriculum, reciting to them, meaning us, His verses, Allah's verses, so recitation of the Qur'an, tilawa of the Qur'an, how to recite the Qur'an, purifying them, how to use the Qur'an to purify ourselves, how to seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to become better than we are, and then teaching them the book, the third portion of it, meaning explanation of the Qur'an, how to apply the Qur'an in our lives, and then wisdom, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which gives the details that are not in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and also to others of them who have not yet joined them, meaning the upcoming people, the different generations. The Quran is for them, and the Messenger of Allah also is for them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The example of those who were entrusted with the Torah and then did not take it on is like that of a donkey who carries volumes, meaning of books. Wretched is the example of the people who deny the signs of Allah, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. If a person has the book, if a person is learning the book, they are supposed to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are supposed to recognize the truth, because the people who read the scripture are upholders of the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Araf, they are like animals. Allah criticizes the Bani Israel for neglecting their responsibility towards the Torah and for not putting its teachings into practice. Allah has told us repeatedly, خُذُوا بِقُوَّةٍ. You have to hold fast to the Quran with a lot of strength, with a great deal of strength. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Bani Israel behaved like an animal, like a donkey who you use to carry the volumes of books because they are heavy, but the donkey does not know what it is carrying. Subhanallah, may Allah save us from that. Ameen. This is actually a very stern ayah. Especially think about it, it comes right after the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the Quran. This is a warning to us, so that we do not become like that. In the beginning of the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to secure us from the path of those who have earned His wrath. The Bani Israel, we have been told clearly in the Quran, are the people who earned His wrath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they did not appreciate, they did not realize the great thing they had with them. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. It is the fadl of Allah, al-fadlul ghazim. Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. Say, O you who are Jews, if you claim that you are allies of Allah, excluding the other people, meaning exclusively, then wish for death, if you should be truthful. But they will not wish for it ever. Why? Because they are not ready to meet Allah. Allah says, because of what their hands have put forth, and Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. Say, indeed, the death from which you flee, indeed it will meet you. Then you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed, and he will inform you about what you used to do. Modern-day Judaism, even Orthodox Judaism, has lost the concept of the hereafter completely. They actually do not believe in the hereafter anymore. And Allah tells us the reason why. That is because they did not want to see death. They do not want to acknowledge the fact that they will have to answer for their deeds. Once someone does that, then they can safely go on and do whatever they want in this dunya, because they are not afraid of being questioned. Subhanallah. Allah then says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who have believed. When the adhan is called for the prayer on the day of Jumu'ah, Friday, then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave trade. That is better for you if you only knew. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina was giving a Jumu'ah khutbah. A caravan came and people left. They wanted to see what was there. Only 12 people remained in the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. And when the prayer has been concluded, disperse within the land and seek the bounty of Allah, and remember Allah often that you may succeed. We're supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even after Jummah Salah. But when they saw a transaction or a diversion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they rushed to it and left you standing. Say, what is with Allah is better than diversion and than a transaction. And Allah is the best of providers. So during the time of Jummah, during the khutbah and also for Salah, people are supposed to leave their businesses. Men are supposed to leave their businesses and attend Jummah. It is obligatory upon men to attend Jummah. Allah commands us to leave trade on that day. Let's look at the virtues of Jummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best day the sun rises over is Friday. On it, Allah created Adam. On it, he was made to enter paradise. On it, he was expelled from it. And the last hour will take place on no other day than Friday. Ahmad and Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of Jummah, the angels stand at the entrance of that masjid in which Jummah Salah is to be offered. They write down the name of the person who enters the masjid first, and thereafter the name of one who follows, and then continue doing this. The person who entered first will receive the reward of sacrificing a camel in the path of Allah. The one who followed him will get the reward of sacrificing a cow, thereafter a chicken, thereafter the reward of having an egg as charity in the path of Allah. Once the khutbah commences, the angels close the register and begin to listen to the khutbah. Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also said, on the day of Jummah is an hour during which Allah gives to a Muslim servant standing in prayer whatever he asks for. Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ also said, Jummah is a day of celebration, so whoever attends it should perform ghusl beforehand. And he said, any man who performs ghusl on Friday, bathes on Friday, perfumes himself if he has perfume, wears the best of his clothes, then goes to the masjid and offers as many prayers as he wishes while not harming anybody, then listens quietly while the imam speaks until he offers the prayer, will have all his sins between that Friday and the next forgiven. Al-Bukhari. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also said, any Muslim who dies during the day or night of Friday will be protected by Allah from the trial of the grave. At-Tirmidhi and Ahmad. Remember, according to the lunar calendar, the evening, the night of Jummah, falls on what we know as Thursday. At sunset on Thursday begins the Jummah, and the evening comes first, and the day comes the next day. Jummah is so important for our spirituality that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever neglects three Jummahs in a row out of negligence will have a seal placed upon his heart. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Surah Al-Munafiqun, the Hypocrites. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. This surah was revealed to clarify an incident that took place in Medina. One Muhajir and an Ansari in a battle started arguing, and each of them called their helpers. Abdullah ibn Abay was there present, and he said to the Ansari, this is what you get for helping these people. We are people of honor, the people of Medina, and we will throw out the Muhajirin. He took advantage of this opportunity and tried to sow seeds of discontent. Zaid bin Arqam radiallahu anhu was listening, and he went and told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about what happened and what Abdullah ibn Ubay was doing. The Prophet, peace be upon him, called Abdullah ibn Ubay and asked him, but he flatly refused and said he had not said anything like that. Zaid bin Arqam radiallahu anhu felt terrible. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, we testify that you are the messenger of Allah, and Allah knows that you are his messenger, and Allah testifies that the hypocrites are liars. Why would they need to testify? Everyone knew that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was Allah's messenger. But they wanted to hide what was truly in their hearts, so they made a big show of their iman. Allah says they have taken their oaths as a cover, so they averted people from the way of Allah. Indeed, it was evil that they were doing. How did they avert people from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because outwardly they would accept Islam, but behind the backs of the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they criticized Islam. So it seemed as if sincere Muslims were really not sure that this was a great religion. Subhanallah. Why were they doing this? Allah exposes them. That is because they believed and then they disbelieved. So their hearts were sealed over and they do not understand. And when you see them, their bodies please you. They look impressive, Allah says. And if they speak, you listen to their speech, because they seem knowledgeable and they are eloquent. Allah says they are as if they were pieces of wood propped up, meaning they're merely forms with empty minds and empty hearts. Allah says they think that every shout is against them. They feel defensive because there's guilt in their hearts. Allah says they are the enemy, So beware of them, may Allah destroy them. How are they deluded? And when it is said to them, come, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will ask forgiveness for you. They turn their heads aside and you see them evading while they are arrogant. They do not feel they need anybody's forgiveness because they do not feel they have done anything wrong. Allah says it is all the same for them whether you ask forgiveness for them or do not ask forgiveness for them. Never will Allah forgive them. Indeed, Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people, people who want to cause fitna and corruption while living amongst the Muslims. Allah says they are the ones who say, do not spend on those who are with the Messenger of Allah until they disband. And to Allah belongs the depositories of the heavens and the earth, but the hypocrites do not understand. They would spend very little and unwillingly, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need their money, and the Sahaba and the Muslims were victorious despite that. They say, if we return to Al-Madina, the more honored for the power will surely expel therefrom the more humble, meaning that they were honorable. This is what Abdullah ibn Abi has said, that we are the honored in Medina and we will expel the Muhajireen. Allah says, and to Allah belongs all honor, and to His Messenger, and to the believers, but the hypocrites do not know. For hypocrites, the honor of this dunya lies in glamour, money, and power. It does not lie in simplicity and humility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they do not realize that, but true honor belongs to those who have submitted to Allah completely. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, let not your wealth and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah, and whoever does that, then those are the losers. And spend in the way of Allah from what we have provided you before death approaches one of you and he says, my Lord, if only you would delay me for a brief term, so I would give charity and be among the righteous. Allah says, do not listen to the hypocrites and do not let your wealth divert you from the remembrance of Allah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend in His cause. Do not let your children divert you, because people hoard money for their children. We save money for our children's future and we don't want to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, do not let these obstacles, these are simply obstacles, these are tests for you, do not let them stop you from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another meaning of this is, do not let your wealth occupy you so much or your children occupy you so much that you forget to pray, that you forget to do dhikr, that you forget to take out zakah and give sadaqah and charity. You do not take time out for your own spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, do not let these things divert you from the remembrance of Allah. And also, when we use our wealth in an unlawful way, when we earn wealth in an unlawful way, when we raise up children not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to teach them Quran and Sunnah, Salah, Zakah, Psalm, all of those things. When we do not teach them, then both of these things, the wealth and children, become an obstacles from the remembrance of Allah. Remember, if we teach our children everything for this dunya's benefit, and we have not taught them how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have failed. Allah says in the Quran, if you forget Him in this dunya, then He will forget you in akhirah. But finally, when does a person remember Allah? When death approaches. At that moment, a person sees the angels and wants to go back. Allah says, but never will Allah delay a soul when its time has come, and Allah is acquainted with what you do.